if what he had done was the right thing. Because in this church, they had wonderful worship, but they sang songs that the same words were repeated over and over again, just like we just sang. And he was bold enough to say that that wasn't real worship. That was a mantra like maybe Buddhists or Hindus use to change their focus. And I was amazed at what I was hearing. When I hear somebody say over and over again, "Let us become more aware of your presence." Brother, that's praying. That's a prayer. That's something that's coming out of the very, very heart where the Holy Spirit is searching our hearts. And when we don't know how to pray, He's praying for us. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the wonder of your glory. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. Somewhere near 1997, I guess it was. Just seems like yesterday. Holy cow. We were living in Fairbanks, Alaska. We came out of the Fred Meyer store. Some of you may know about Fred Meyer, big on the West Coast, Upper Northwest. It was a place where you could buy jalapenos and 2x4s all in the same store. It was just, there was everything there. And we made the mistake of coming out of the home furnishing section one time. And there in the on sale, you know, super price was a bathtub that had jets in it. It was a jacuzzi tub. And my wife and I kind of looked at each other because we thought this would really be cool. So, and it was the same size as our tub. I mean, that's no roughing in. That's just, you pull your old tub out and, you know, drop some sand in there and drop this new tub. It'd plummet up. Let's do that. We bought it. And I started on a Saturday morning of putting this tub in. And it didn't take too long, the plumbing, because the plumbing before was done by a guy like me that thought he knew how to plumb. And so that took a little time, but we got it so when it pulled the drain in the tub, the water didn't go all over the boiler room. It actually where it was supposed to go. But the problem was the tub was not enough. Now we needed new spigots and fixtures, a different color, because of the color of the tub. Now we wanted to have gold fixtures instead of silver fixtures. And the gold didn't go well with the surround where the tub was at, so now let's get some new surround. And then my wife says, "Well, now we're doing this, let's put a new vanity in with two sinks instead of one." That's a good idea, but the wood doesn't match the wallpaper. Well, let's re-wallpaper. So we peel the wallpaper off, and I find a piece of wood that's been shoved up against the wall that used to be a window where there now is a garage. So that's cold, blasting Arctic air come through there, so we got to frame out that thing and fix that wall. And then we have got to, well, you know, that looks so nice. I think wood trim around the walls would be really nice. So we get the beaded trim that goes around the walls, and then the chair rails and stuff that goes with that. And then we need new light fixtures. And so we need new light fixtures. And then all of a sudden, all this stuff, and I got boilers, which means you got finned radiators. I find out I got to move a radiator because we decided we need a new door. So now the real plumbing starts. I mean, with the torches and the copper and the stuff. Why don't we buy that tub is where it started. Somewhere around 3 months later, it stopped. God, it was finished. And had there been a saliva swap on Fairbanks Facebook, I would have sold every tool that I own. Everything, everything, down to the last nail. Nothing that would make me ever think about doing that again. Finished! The job is over! Acts chapter 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Luke is writing this. This is the Gospel of Luke that he's talking about. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. 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 This is not all there is. There's got to be something more. Don't go away from Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit, is what he's saying. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This is why Jesus said, don't leave until the Holy Spirit comes, because you still don't understand what this is all about. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the very end of the earth. Remember, the word witness there is the Greek word martyros, from which we get the word martyr. And all but John paid that price. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Father, I ask this morning, Lord, that you present to us, to our hearts, Lord God, from your voice, from your inner prompting, Lord, from your inner instruction, the message, Lord God, of the ending, the finish, and yet the beginning. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Why are you standing there like a bunch of fools looking up in the sky? The first part of this chapter is so very important to set the stage for this. On Thursday, we'll be observing, or the Catholic Church will, and I guess other churches will, but I know the Catholic Church will, they'll be observing Ascension Day. That's the day, 40 days following the Feast of First Fruits, or Unleavened Bread, when Jesus rose from the dead, 40 days from then. It's like our Resurrection Day. It'll be 40 days from Resurrection Day on Thursday, and then 10 days later is Pentecost Sunday. And like I said in the bulletin, you need to be here on that day, because you're going to hear a Pentecostal message from a real Pentecostal preacher on Pentecost Sunday. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. But Jesus with them for 40 days doing two things. Making sure they understood that he is alive. He's not a hallucination. He's not just a vision that they're having. He's eating and drinking with them. He's sitting and teaching them. He is living with them like he did before he suffered and died and rose again from the dead. We've been talking about this on Wednesday night. The proofs that are within the Bible to tell us that Jesus was truly alive. Paul would say, literally on this day, that he was seen by above 500 of the brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive. If you want to ask him, you go talk to him, is what he's saying. There's a couple, two or three things I want to look at today that I've never really thought about. In fact, this is the first time I've ever even taught or preached about this subject of the ascension. Of Jesus leaving the earth. Forty days he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Truths that you cannot deny. Taught them things concerning the Holy Spirit. Taught them things concerning the things that needed to happen after he was gone. And then he goes out and they watch him as he rises from the earth. Not a spirit, but a man whose feet leave the ground and he begins to go up to heaven. The same resurrected body that Paul says in Thessalonians that he will come back with, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain, we shall be caught up with them in the clouds to be with the Lord, the same Jesus. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. When Jesus left, it was over. His ministry here on this earth was over. On the cross, he cried out the words, "It is finished." The price had been paid. No more sacrifice for sin. It was paid. No more would you buy a lamb, a bull, a goat, turtle doves. The price has been paid. No more were you concerned about what have I done? And can I get to Jerusalem fast enough to pay the price? The price has been paid. No more can you do anything. The price has been paid. It is finished. My God, how we need to get a hold of that. Our Sunday school class this morning was focused on the fruits, the works that come after we learn those kinds of things. And our discussion was about how sometimes we miss the purpose of God because we're trying to figure out things and how to do it ourselves. But it's already been done. You know, that's one of the most difficult truths that Christians can get a hold of, let alone the people out there in the world. The price has been paid. All your goodness and all the times that you don't cuss, and all the times that you don't say what you want to say, that you don't do what you want to do, all that, no, it's already been paid. All that is showing that you've decided to follow Jesus. You want to be like Him. I can't do anything else. Paul wrote to the people in Rome and he said, "You need to understand this. Here's where I am and here's where I was. I was doing the things I did not want to do. I wasn't doing the things I knew I had to do. I was in this conundrum of saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who will ever save me from this life that I want to live and I can't, and the life I don't want to live but I do? That's my own paraphrase. And then in the next words, he says, I thank God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For there is no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, but after the flesh. For the life, for the law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is now no condemnation. Told him this morning in Sunday school, that's why the writer of the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 says there is a rest that way. It's not the Sabbath day. He's writing to Jewish people because they relate to the Sabbath day. It is a time when you work and then you rest. He's trying to tell Jewish Christians in Jesus Christ, there is no more work. You rest in Him. You cannot do anything to earn a higher place in heaven. There is nothing you can say that will get you any closer to the throne. There is nothing that you can buy that will put you close to the boss. Your sin has already been paid for. And when Jesus left this earth, it was the final seal. I got nothing else that I need to do. It's all been done. Thank God He went up into the clouds. Thank God He left. Thank God He went away. What are you talking about? In the 16th chapter of the book of John, Jesus says, I must needs go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit cannot come. The Advocate, the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Lawyer, the one called alongside of you, the one that's going to bring all truth, whatever I have taught you, He's going to bring it to your mind. I have to go away. By Jesus, thank you. He's done everything He needed to do. And now they got to go back. Remember what He said. Don't leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Oh, there's more? Yeah, there's more. Hallelujah. There's more. There's more. You know, just sitting around being knowing that you're saved is cool. Amen. I've got my fire insurance policy. I'm going to heaven and not to hell. That's cool. There's a lot of people rejoicing that. And they sit and they think about that. And hallelujah. There is more. There is a whole lot more. There is so much stuff that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. I'm just going away, you see, because I'm only one guy. You saw me when I fed 5,000 people. You walked with me from Jerusalem to Galilee. I found about a mountain today, Mount Arbel, where Jesus may have told His disciples to meet Him after the resurrection. Go ahead and tell them I'll meet Him in Galilee. Mount Arbel is like 115 miles away. Meet me there. This is all we got is right here. There are things that I got to do to show you I am who I am. It has not changed in 2,000 years. Jesus is fully willing to show you who He is and what He can do through the power of the Holy Spirit when we are willing to say, this is all I want. I don't want anything else. He left this earth to go to heaven so the Holy Spirit could come. When He was but one guy, even though it was a spiritual body, He was limited to one place. Well, he could walk through doors. He could do all these kind of things. But he limited himself to one place. But when he left, the Holy Spirit come to indwell us. One, to tell us that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Holy Spirit came to dwell on the inside of us. That so when I did not know how to pray, the Spirit that's on the inside of me will lift up my prayers for me, because He knows my heart. He knows the heart of God. And He can take my heart and God's heart and put the two of them together. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving. For now, the Holy Spirit can come. Oh, my heavens. My time on earth is over. But He's coming back. Oh, my heavens. Jesus entered into another ministry when He left this earth. He didn't go. If you want to follow along with me in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 24, I want to just read this to you. When Jesus left this earth, He didn't go up there and just flop down on the throne and say, "Whew, that was over. I'm not trying to be ugly or anything. I'm just saying Jesus didn't go to just sit down and say, I did my part." Verse 24, but He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost. And when you're preaching, you're supposed to say, and to the guttermost, those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And He has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests who offer up sacrifices, first for His own sins and then for the people's. For this He did once for all when He offered up Himself, when He said, "It is finished." Now He's in heaven ever to make intercession for you and for me. First John gives us in that first chapter, I believe it is, down around verse 7 or somewhere. I don't know. They're magically doing this stuff on the... Well, He said, "Little children, I write this unto you that you may not sin. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we sin, we have one who is willing to stand in our place before the Father and say, 'I died for that one. I died that he is my child, that she is my child. Hold not this sin to their account, for I died. I was the sacrifice.'" John says, "So He has become the propitiation for our sin and for all the sins of the world." My God. This Jesus, I would have loved to just went to Him and shook His hand and say, "God, Lord, that was pretty incredible. I'm schlepping around this basket with bread and fish full. Just like the 11 other guys were schlepping around baskets full of. And all there was 5 loaves and 2 fishes a little while ago. But I'd like to shake in His hand and say, 'Cool, well done.' But there's coming a day that we will walk through heaven's gate and we'll see the one who paid the price. Show me his hands, his feet, and his side. And I will be able to thank him for what he did back then and what he's done every day since. Every day since. He has stood before the Father for me. My high priest, offering his sacrifice back to the Father when I am willing to confess my sins. He is willing to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He's willing to forgive my sin. A new ministry, Lord. I didn't think you could do anything else more than what you did. But now you've passed into the heavens. And we are anchored to what you're doing right now. And lastly, I use this scripture so often at funerals. Not so much, well, yes, it does. It helps people in their time of grief. But it helps me when I stand in the presence of death. Judy lost a good friend of hers yesterday. A lady that she had taken care of for years. Went to meet the Lord last night. I was extremely blessed. The more I think about it, Judy, the more I think it was such a God thing. I was mowing the lawn out here yesterday, and yeah, that's if you want to walk along the tracks of the tire, please don't, because they'll think you're drunk. I did that. I did some things out in the back. I did some things in the shed. And then there was a moment when I knew it's time to go home. Well, there's 100 other things you can do. There's about 18 ton of weeds outside. You can see where I went through and I started pulling them up, but there was something on the inside of me that said, you got to get home. I didn't know what it was. Got home and came in. I took my hat off and I just went in and I flopped down in my chair. Phone rang. And it was Judy asking if we'd go and pray with this lady. What a privilege it is to stand at the bedside of someone and to pray with them, to go through the works of what Jesus did and help them. I know they can hear me. They can't speak or do this, but I know they can hear me. That's been proven over and over and over again. And to just pray a prayer of salvation with her. And she was a good Methodist woman, I understand. And maybe, you know, maybe she's done all this in the past. But what a blessing it is to stand alongside of them. Knowing that it wouldn't be very long. I told you when I left, I don't think it's going to be long. It was just a matter of a couple hours, I guess. And she left. And on the way home, I think of this verse that I use so often. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You got guys standing in the crowd. They stick out a wee bit. They're totally in white garments. You know immediately they're not from this town. Not from around here. And they stand and they speak to you, all hundreds of you. Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the clouds? This same Jesus, who you saw him. This same Jesus, this same Jesus. He's coming back. He's coming back. He said so. If I go away, I will come back and get you. The guys that don't live there, that live in another place, are saying, why are you standing here staring into the cloud? This same Jesus that just went up there, he's going to come back in like manner. And on one occasion, he's coming back as awesome as the sun coming up in the morning, like lightning flashing from east to west. We'll see the sign of the Son of Man. And I believe that when that happens, the whole world is going to see him. And for us who have trusted him, they will all so see us. Because he's coming back with 10,000s of his saints. Oh. Wow. I believe there's another time that he's coming. I don't know when. I have no idea. All I know is I got to be ready right now. Because he told me I'm coming back in a time you're not thinking I'm coming back. It's going to be like a thief in the night. I'm coming back. And when he does, we're going to meet him, mom and dad, my brothers, my sisters, friends that I've known through the years, people who have sat in these seats. I'm going to see them. And in one day, my wife will not buy me a horse. So I have to buy shaps just in case. But there is coming a day. John said, behold, I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness does he judge and make war. His vesture has been dipped in blood. Jesus is coming back. And we're coming back with him on horses. Hallelujah. Yeah. The shiny head with the biggest grin, that'll be me. Amen. Me and mom and dad. I believe with all my heart, Lord, I don't know for sure, but I'm believing with all my heart. My dog Chase. Luke. We're coming back.
Because he went away. But he did not leave us like orphans. He didn't leave us to mourn and cry that he went away. He left us with a task to perform. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and into Samaria and into the utmost ends, farthest away, everywhere. You're going to be my witnesses. His job was finished. Our job just began. And across the hundreds of years, men and women have taken that knowledge of a resurrected Savior, empowered by the Holy Spirit, into a world and change millions, no, billions, to the heart of Jesus Christ. 250,000 men and women in 2016 gave their lives because they believed that Jesus Christ was crucified, died, and buried, and rose again from the dead. This is the good news. Death has no more control. There is no more fear of death. Jesus paid the price. It is finished. He's done all that He can do here. And now He has sent the Holy Spirit so that we can continue what He does. What about this resurrection day stuff? What about this Jesus going into heaven stuff? Awesome. It's awesome. And what about the knowledge that He's coming back for you? He's coming back for me. Amen. Father, I praise You this morning. You're not a God that just sits on a throne somewhere. You fired it all up and then You went away. You're not like that.
He was nodding His head saying, "Voice, You're right. I've never, never really acknowledged Jesus for who He is. I thought I'd get through life without Him. I thought I could just figure my own way through this thing. I thought that man inside of me, man really did have the answer. But this morning, I really am not sure." That's Your call. That's Jesus calling you right now. He's asking you to acknowledge Him, Savior and Lord. He's asking you to repent of your sin. What does repent mean? It simply means to change the direction that you're going. And it starts with a change in your mind. You don't ever have to worry about what is sin, what isn't sin. If you ask the Holy Spirit, He'll show you. And you see things now on the inside of you that you know they're not right. Ask Jesus to make Himself so real and to do it by forgiving your sins. Ask Him to be Lord of your life, and as you change directions with your life, that He will always go with you. And He has complete and total lordship over all the things you do, you say, you are, you want to be. He's Lord now of my life. And every day, Lord, I want to know You better. And I'll pray and I'll read my Bible, but I just want to know You better. God, help me close my ears, Lord, to the din of stuff that goes on out there, and let me focus on Jesus and who Jesus is.
and I'm going to give you the praise. Father, this congregation, people who are absolutely hungry for more of you, and there is more. And there is more that you're willing to reveal of yourself. If we simply open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and His wrecking crew, have Him come in and do away with things that aren't pleasing to you, you're willing to show more and more and more of yourself. And that we would grow and we would mature from level to level, from step to step, until we come to the perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us with that, Lord, today. Help us with that. Make it our priority in life. And we will forever give you the praise in Jesus' most precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
The promise of love that God gave to each of you. I so loved you that I gave my Son, my only Son, that if you would believe in Him, you would never perish, but you would have eternal life. How you doing? How you doing in the race? How you doing in the run? If you've slowed down, let's pick up the pace. If you've stopped, come, I'll run with you. If something has gotten your way, come on with me, I'll kick him in the knee too, and we'll go. Just don't give up. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Father, thank you this morning for the love that sent Jesus to this earth. Thank you, Lord, for what you showed us. You didn't talk about it, you did it. It wasn't about what you're going to do, it's what you did. It's not about what was going to happen, it's about what happened. Jesus died for me that I might be in heaven forever. And He died for me that I might live on this earth as a child of the King and see the power of the kingdom on this earth. If you're here this morning, you have never started the race. Or you've started on the journey and you've let it go. You've started and you were running good for a while, but now you've stopped. The world has kind of overtaken you. Today is the day to change that. Today is the day to say to God, Father, I'm sorry. I really am. Not that I've been caught. I'm sorry in my heart that I've stopped. And I want to go on. I want you to live your life through me. Tell Him that. Forgive my sin. Heal my spirit. And He'll do that for you. A willingness to change your mind and heart about your life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anybody pray that prayer right now? I want you to just slip up your hand. You don't have to hold it up high. Just want you to just put it down. Put them down. Put them down. You just put them down. Put them down. More than anything, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to make the end. When I stand in my white robes before you, and I hear you say to me, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're going to celebrate communion this morning. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come and begin to distribute the elements. Please hold them until everyone is served. Thank you.
Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He says in that 11th chapter, "For those who eat and drink without discerning, without understanding the body of Christ, they eat and drink judgment on themselves." That's why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. What Paul is saying there, right now, let us discern, let us understand what it is that Jesus did. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus gave His life that sinners would be set free. Jesus gave His body to the whip that we might be healed. Jesus died that we might mentally be freed from the things that surround us. That's what He did. We've got to understand that. So don't sit there and say, "I'm just not worthy." None of you are worthy. I'm not, surely not worthy. But Jesus did it for me anyway.